Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Good evening, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, depending on where you are around the world here on ACB Radio Mainstream. And welcome back to Main Menu Live. We've been away for a little bit there, but we're back now with a brand new season of Main Menu and Main Menu Live. Tonight, we have with us, we'll bring on my co-host Daryl in just a minute. We have with us tonight Jerry Chevalier from Humanware to talk to us further all about the Victor Reader Stream. That's right. We heard in the first hour on Main Menu an in-depth review of the Victor Reader Stream. And now you will have an opportunity to ask any questions that you may have all about the Victor Reader Stream to Humanware directly. We already have a couple of questions that have come in from listeners of the show via email, and we'll get to those tonight as well. Without further ado, let's bring in Daryl first. Hello, Daryl. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going great. Nice to have Jerry on with us and be able to continue the information about the Victor Reader Stream, starting with your excellent demonstration there.
Well, thank you. I actually really enjoyed throwing that together. And let's give everybody contact information, and why don't we start with MSN first?
The MSN is mainmenu@acbradio.org, and I'm having some minor complications here, but I should have that up in a couple of minutes.
Okay, good enough. And if you want to call into the show, we'll let you know when it's best to do that. The number tonight will be 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. And we have a little bit of some technology news tonight, and there's some little bit of news from Freedom Scientific. Do you want to talk to us all about that, Daryl?
Sure. There is, if for those of you that have been having some issues with the blank virtual buffers when visiting certain web pages, there's something that can be done about that. What you need to do, though, is you need to contact Freedom Scientific Technical Support, and they will give you a fix for that issue, in addition to some other stability-related performance issues.
Yes, that's right. And the reason why they're handling it this way is to make sure that all of the cases that people have been seeing with that issue are caught. And so,
right, exactly.
That's why they don't want people giving out the link to actually where that patch is located. So, pick up the phone, give Freedom Scientific a call, and you don't really need the patch unless you're experiencing these issues. And so, keep that in mind that it's really not there's no reason to. To fix something if it's not breaking for you. And so there you go. All right, well, before we bring on Jerry, we're going to go ahead and listen to my guide dog in the background. No, that's not what we're going to be doing. But what we're going to do first is we're going to go ahead and listen to an Access Watch review. That's right, Jamie Pauls is back this Main Menu season, and he talks to us all about Real One Player Beta version 11. And I've played with this myself a little bit, and it sounds like he's done quite a bit more with it. So let's listen in and find out what he's done with that, and then we'll come back and we'll introduce Jerry, and we'll get started talking all things Victor Reader Stream and Humanware and all that kind of fun stuff. So let's listen in now to Jamie Pauls with Access Watch.
Hi, Main Menu friends. This is Jamie Pauls with the first Access Watch software review of the season. This week, I'd like to talk very briefly about the beta of Real Player version 11. I haven't spent a lot of time with the program, but I have found a couple things that are worth mentioning. One is good and one is not so good. The first thing that I find very encouraging is that it is quite easy to use the library in Real Player to go ahead and burn a CD. I haven't done extensive work with the library, and to be honest with you, I need to explore it quite a bit more to really understand the power of it and how much of that is accessible, but I was at least able to burn a CD using RealPlayer version 11. One of the things that I found that was not so handy was that when I listened to a CD in RealPlayer, using both WindowEyes and JAWS, I was not able to hear the list of tracks spoken as I arrowed up and down through the list view of tracks. I was able to use the mouse movement commands and read the tracks, and I was able to route the mouse pointer to the cursor position and see what track I was on by using when I used the arrow keys. But I was, as I state, not able to hear that information when I played with the arrow keys. I don't know if anyone has visited with the Real Networks team or not, but if you are in contact with them, you might let them know about that. And if you have some information that might be helpful to me, please let me know about that. You can contact me, Jamie Pauls, that's JamiePauls, at gmail.com. Check out the website at www.accesswatch.info. And even though not frequently updated, I do still have a blog at http://accesswatch.wordpress.com. I'll try to work on that blog. In the meantime, have a great week.
You're listening to Main Menu Live, airing at 2 hours Universal on Wednesday. To participate in the show, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
That's right. We want to sincerely thank Jamie for that presentation from Access Watch, and he'll be with us pretty much every week here on Main Menu and Main Menu Live. And we'll be bringing him on as a guest as well. So, without further ado, let's warmly welcome Jerry Chevalier from HumanWare. Hello, Jerry. How's it going?
Hello, Jeff. I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. And well, first, it goes without saying that you really have come out with a really amazing product. And everybody that has put their hands on it has said exactly the same thing. And even the people at work, as you heard in the review, were oohing and aahing over it just from its visual appearance. So before we get started, I wanted to commend you highly on a product well done, and I'm sure there's a lot more to come in the future in reference to updates for the Victor Reader Stream, that's for sure. Before we get started here, I thought we would talk a little bit about HumanWare for those that are not aware of who HumanWare is and what HumanWare does and what products they develop. We're not going to spend a tremendous amount of time on that tonight in reference to the other products, but I thought we would give Jerry an opportunity to talk a little bit about HumanWare tonight here on Main Menu Live. Take it away, Jerry.
Okay, Jeff, thank you, and excellent demonstration you did of the product, by the way. I was listening before the call-in portion here, and I thought you were doing my job as well as I'm doing it, if not better, so congratulations on that. Very thorough and very well presented. HumanWare is a result of a merger between two companies that many of your listeners will have heard about. It's the result of a merger between a Canadian company called VisuAid, which was the company that started the Victor Reader back in 1997. The first digital talking book player, CD talking book player, was the Victor Reader Pro. And VisuAid continued to grow, and towards just before the merger, it had introduced a couple of new products, the accessible PDA we call Maestro, and coupled with that was the GPS system that runs along with Maestro in the combined package known by many as the Maestro Trekker. Pulse Data was the other company that was combined with VisuAid to form the current HumanWare. VisuAid is a company whose manufacturing and research center is headquartered in Christchurch, New Zealand, and they have produced the infamous and very well accepted and very powerful note taker called the Braille Note, and more recently the Empower series. People are familiar with that. They have other products in terms of CCTV readers. They have the first digital video magnifier that has acclaimed a lot of popularity since 2005, the My Reader product. and portable optical readers and so on. So when the two companies came together, we had a very versatile set of products, the Manufacturing and Research Center in Canada with the Victor Reader products and the Maestro Trekker, and then the Manufacturing and Research Center in Christchurch bringing the TV readers, the My Reader, and of course the Braille Note product, and many more to come. We're a worldwide company in addition to the two manufacturing centers, Canada and New Zealand. We have a full distribution and dealer network in the U.S., headquartered in Concord, California. We have a European dealership headquartered in Peterborough, just outside London, England, and also in Australia. And Australia is now expanding and serving the Australasia marketplace. So very much Humanware is a worldwide company, continuing to grow. And as a blind person myself, the thing I'm most proud of about Humanware is a significant amount of their profits, their revenue, goes back into innovation and research. We have over 40 engineers employed in Canada and New Zealand combined. And for a company in the assistive technology business, this is just outstanding. It shows the commitment to Humanware for innovating new products, and we do put a lot of our revenue back into that innovation. And the Victor Reader Stream is one of the results of that effort.
Absolutely.
So that's a quick recap. I don't think you want to go into too much detail,
but
Humanware.com has all of the expansion on the products and the company profile and so on.
Absolutely. Now, how many blind people are employed at Humanware? I've always been kind of curious as to that. I know that there's been more and more that have been hired, especially in the sales and support areas of Humanware. Do you know much about that, Jerry?
Oh, gosh, yes, there are a number, Jeff. I can't give you a total number, but in Canada alone, I have to think in my head about the U.S., but we have about 9 or 10. And in the U.S., it's at least double that, I think. There's also a number of people in Christchurch, in the U.K. So there is a big focus in Humanware to hire people wherever possible that are qualified, who have a visual impairment, blindness, or low vision, so that they very much influence the development of the products. As a Victor Reader product manager, I am a blind person myself. I have only light perception, so I use access technology. I've been using Victor Reader products long before I joined the company, ever since 1997. And that same sort of philosophy about having input from blind people to product development goes throughout the company. Wherever we can have blind people influence product development, we're doing that to the best we can.
Yeah, we heard a lot about that, actually, at the ACB convention. You know, when your president of Humanware came and spoke to us, and so that's really kind of neat. Well, let's see, where do we want to start here? I thought we would go ahead and answer probably the most obvious questions that weren't covered in the review, and I think that the number one question that I didn't actually, these are questions that I haven't received email on, but I actually, when I did the VIP presentation earlier in the weekend, and also with talking to people, these are kind of questions that arose that people wanted to get some information about directly from Humanware. The first, of course, and I know you and I discussed this before, is of course NLS support, and we thought we'd give you an opportunity to talk about. We know that the Victor Reader Stream, from reading the manual, of course, that's also on the website, will support eventually the NLS. Books, but do you have any estimates on timing, or because we know that of course the there's going to be a beta available sometime in August or September that was announced at the ACB convention.
Yes, not exactly a beta, but what was announced at the ACB convention by Frank Kurtzilke and Michael Montoya, who came from NLS, is they stated their intention to expand the download pilot project of NLS books that is now underway, I think with 100 users. They intend to expand that project this summer, they announced, and so hopefully we'll hear something very soon. And it will allow more people to participate in downloading the digital books that NLS has already produced. And what they said was required to participate in the expanded download was you, of course, had to be an eligible NLS patron registered by your local library, and you would have to have the technology, so a computer and an internet connection, capable of downloading the books, and finally you would have to have a player capable of playing the books. And the Victor Reader Stream is such a player. It does play the NISO, ANSI NISO Z39.86 format that NLS has adopted, and that NISO format is supported by the stream. But what your listeners need to understand is that NLS books are digitally encrypted. They are protected, and so that any player that plays them must have a special decrypt code, and that authorization, if you like, has to come from NLS. So at this moment in time, the stream does not play the books because we're have not had the players authorized to do so, but we have discussed that with NLS, and once the pilot project is available, they will provide a web form on their site for people to apply for participation in the download, and once they're confirmed by NLS, then HumanWare will be given the permission to send the code from NLS to authorize that player to play the books. And we have that already to go in the Victor Reader Stream. It'll basically mean that you have to put an authorization file, which we can send to you by a simple email attachment. You'd simply put that file onto the SD card, and when the stream recognizes that file is present, then it would ingest that file, if you like, and authorize the player with the necessary decryption, so then it would be able to play the books.
Excellent. Okay.
So the time I cannot give you. We're waiting, as all of you are, for NLS to make the announcement, and then we'll move as quickly as possible to respond to those users as they apply for participation.
Right. So, Frank, if you're listening, hurry up. We're ready. We want NLS books to play on the stream. Okay. What about RFB and D books? Do you have any information on that?
A similar process there. As many of you know, RFB and D, all of our players play RFB and D books, and in fact, RFB and D is a dealer. They sell our players in the U.S., and so they're very keen on the Victor Reader Stream and have agreed to review it and evaluate it, and that's a process that's standard procedure for RFB and D. Any player that they authorize to play their books, they do require that their testers evaluate it and make sure they understand it. And then a similar process, they will give us permission to put their authorization code onto the player, and then it will be enabled for RFB and D books. So, again, it's the summer month, and it's pretty busy with everybody being away on vacation. So RFB and D are looking at the player, and I expect to hear back from them very shortly. So we should have, within a month or so, we should have the ability to handle the RFB and D books. And again, these kinds of changes would happen. We'd make it as expedient as possible to authorize the player, hopefully with some sort of an online email or other kind of attachment that we can send to you to authorize the player.
Okay, good. Okay, and then what about BRF or Word documents? And actually, I didn't even think about Word documents because I think they're kind of hard to read anyway in that form, really, on a player like that. But someone brought it up to me as well. And so do you plan on supporting both similar content as Web Braille as well as Microsoft Word documents?
I would say that Word documents are interesting. They're further down the list. For me, the priorities for the future on the stream are the BRF files, definitely. Web Braille is a big content source that we want to give people access to, and BRF files are available from many other places. I think so. BRF is right up at the top, and I think next to that, before we worry about DOC or Microsoft Word, because these are easily converted to text on your computer, so in fact, we do have access to the text files. I would prefer to have something like WMA for our customers before we worry about DOC. So I think our resources would be applied to that format first.
Wow, you're a great transitionalist, because that was my next question, which was, what about protected WMAs similar to OverDrive or NetLibrary's content?
OverDrive and NetLibrary are two big sources, and WMA DRM is necessary for those, that's for sure. The first step is WMA, and then the DRM is something we, whether we handle it on board with the player or whether we do it on the PC side before we download the file remains to be determined yet. A lot of commercial players are handling the decryption on the PC before they download the file to the player. So in terms of cost and efficiency, it may be more expedient for us to do it this way. So all I can tell you at the moment is WMA is a high priority. It's on the list for the future. I can't give you a date. And, of course, one of the reasons for WMA is to be able to access resources like NetLibrary and OverDrive. So that means we need to deal with the DRM piece of the WMA as well.
Okay, great. Daryl, do we have any questions coming in from MSN yet?
Yes, Marlena asks about support for Audible format.
Ah, yes.
All the other ones we've talked about.
Okay. What about Audible, Jerry?
Even better news on Audible. We've just finished the process with Audible.com with the folks there and have done the necessary negotiations, legal stuff for the licensing and so on. So that's all out of the way, and they've sent us their technical package. And we have an engineer actually working on Audible as we speak. So I'm very hopeful for Audible within a month or so. It'll probably be... It won't be on the production release that we're planning to ship this month, but it'll probably be on the very first upgrade, which might be as soon as 6-7 weeks from now.
Oh, great! Okay,
so,
yeah. What kind of updates are we? Or, you know, of course, you'd probably this may be too far out for you to really tell us. But what kind of updates will we be seeing in the 1.1 release, Jerry?
You're right. I can't tell you. I've just passed on my list to the project manager on the Victor team, and the way we work in Humanware is I'm the product manager on the marketing side, and then I have to negotiate, if you like, or give my requirements to our R&D team, and then they come back and say, "Well, Jerry, you know, you've got everything here, and you're not going to get it all in 1.1, but I'm going to get Audible." And they've agreed to that because they're already working on it. And I think you're going to see a few nice, just little tweakings and things that we've learned through the beta testing and some of the initial feedback that people might appreciate. One of them, for example, might be a companion piece of software that we would run on the PC called Stream Companion. And we might provide this as an optional piece of software to help people and negotiate some of the file transfers. Some people have said to us, well, Windows Explorer is fine, but, you know, I've got these Daisy books on my hard drive, and I'm not exactly sure where the Daisy books are or what files make up the Daisy book. So for many people, this is not an issue. They just have their Daisy book and use Windows Explorer and select all the files and copy and paste them, which will work fine, as you've demonstrated, Jeff, but... what we intend to do with the Stream Companion software is give them a nice little interface where you would point your point the Stream Companion to My Documents, let's say, or some location on your computer where your Daisy books are, where you think they are even, and it'll go out there and search that path and come up with a nice little list and say, I found 10 books on your hard drive. Just check the one that you want to put on the stream and then click install, and it'll transfer it over. So that's the Audible.com and the Stream Companion are probably the two most significant things you'll see on the very first upgrade.
Okay, good. We have a caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi there. This is Larry from Phoenix.
Hey, Larry. How's it going?
Hey, Larry.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing fantastic. How are you enjoying that 120-degree heat up there?
It's terrible. I can't wait for it to cool off.
Yeah, well, it was 107 here today.
All right, I feel your pain.
Yeah, there you go. How can we help you tonight, sir?
Hey, I just listened to your presentation about the stream, and it was really helpful. I had an opportunity to play with it, if you will, at the ACB conference and went ahead and purchased one, which leads me to my question. I am eagerly awaiting receiving the stream and wonder when it will actually be in my hands.
Great question, and we'll let you listen on the air if that's okay, Larry.
All right, sounds
okay.
Good.
Okay, great, thanks. Right, so when do you expect to be shipping? I think you kind of mentioned that a little bit earlier. We know it's going to be sometime in August, right, Jerry?
Yes, thank you for your call, Larry, and I appreciate you your support of the product. We still are looking good for our plan to ship in August. We do have the production run complete, I can tell you that, and it's now actually this week in the quality assurance testing phase. They're going through it and doing all of their usual tests to make sure the units are functioning the way they expect. And if we get the green light from that, then we should be in a position to ship. So I can't tell you for sure because you never know until all the people that are doing the testing give us their okay on the production line. But we are in that final stage at the moment. We're in production testing.
Excellent, excellent. We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hey there, Jeff. My conference call got uncalled, and so I am getting to listen to you and Jerry. Hello, Jerry. Oh. This is Marlena.
You sound rather...
Well, Marlena, I recognize your voice for sure. How are you doing?
You sound rather tinty.
What?
You sound rather tinty. Are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm on a headphone.
Oh, it sounds...
It does sound different.
Can you talk on the regular phone, Marlena? It does... It's coming across...
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Okay.
You don't sound like yourself at all.
No, you sound quite different, Marlena.
Is that better?
That's much better. You now sound like you.
Okay.
You almost weren't recognizable before.
Yeah, almost. It's kind of tinty. How can we help
we
you?
We now have the Oprah of ACB back.
That's right. We now have Oprah here.
Oh, Dave.
Hey, my question, Jerry, first of all, I've been very, very delighted to be one of the beta testers of this. And I have to tell you, I think if Gary says twice a week, he says it daily, I'm going to buy one of those streams. So he wants my stream, but I won't let him have it. My question is, will we be able to purchase additional peripherals, such as an additional power cord, an additional battery, perhaps a standalone battery charger? You know how I feel about this rechargeable battery issue, and I just really would like to know that I've always got one standing by for me. Is that going to be possible? And I'll hang up and listen to the answer.
Okay. Good night, Oprah.
Good night, my dear.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, thank you so much, Marlena. And Marlena's provided a lot of great feedback during the beta phase, and we thank her for that. I guess my answer, Marlena, is yes to 2 out of 3. We do intend to make the accessories available. If somebody loses their USB cord, we'll make sure that we can get them a spare one. We intend to sell spare batteries. In terms of your last question, when we sell a recharger, this is an interesting idea, but you have to understand we'd need to have a significant demand for that, because in order to have a standalone charger, we would have to create a project to build that. We'd have to build a piece of plastic and all of the electronics that go into the charger and so on. So that would not be an inexpensive item. And so I guess I'll reserve judgment on that. Unless we get enough customers that could share that development cost, it would make it very, very expensive. But what you can do, if you did purchase an extra battery, of course you'd have to charge both your batteries in the unit. And then, let's say, remove one when you go on your vacation and keep it in your luggage and one in the player. So you would have the ability to have up to 30 hours of playtime on those two batteries. But at the moment, we don't have a product to have an external charger for that second battery.
The unit is charged through the USB port, is that correct?
No, the unit is charged through an AC adapter that we supply in the package.
That's an AC adapter.
It's a pretty hefty battery, and charging through the USB would not be an efficient process particular kind of device. It would take an awful long time.
Right.
So in order to get a 3.5 or 4 hour fast charge, we did require a typical AC adapter that plugs in the wall.
Yeah, I think the thing that's really important here to remember, too, is that the unit charges in 4 hours. So, I mean, even if you were leaving on a trip the next day, you know, you could simply just charge two batteries within an 8-hour period, you know, you could take it to work and, you know, set an alarm, which brings me to a question, and I know that the device is really not intended to be a clock, but I was thinking about this, Jerry, and that is, would it be possible to add an internal clock? I don't know if the stream even has the ability of keeping track of time. I don't know if it has a chip in it or not to do that. But does it, well, first of all, does it have the ability? I know it doesn't in the software right now, in the firmware, but does the unit have that ability? And I'm kind of thinking of the sleep timer in this situation, where if you're reading, you know, you might want to find out, you know, gosh, how long have I been reading? Is it 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 in the morning? You know, what time is it?
No, we don't have a daytime, if you like, a real-time clock in the player. Of course, the CPU itself keeps track of time while it's running. That's why you have the elapsed time that you're playing and the 15-minute shut-off timer and 30-minute shut-off timer and so on. But no, we didn't build a clock into the unit. As you can appreciate, it's a pretty affordable player with a lot of advanced options.
Exactly.
So we didn't want to force the price up with extra components that really wouldn't bring value added and would just get the price up. People told us they were ready for a $300 player, and we almost built it. We're at 10% over, but $329, we're quite proud of that price, and so it doesn't have a lot of extra components such as what you described, a real-time clock.
Okay.
Do we have a battery indicator on this, though?
Yeah, we do, Daryl.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, okay. You can press the zero key, and it will tell you the battery indication.
I don't recall you showing that.
Yeah, it was in the review.
And no, he had it in there. One thing that he didn't mention, which some of our users will be interested in, is there is a small LED on the top face of the player.
Oh, you know, I didn't. Yeah, you're right. I didn't. Well, you don't see it. Yeah. You don't mention it.
That is one thing we did add to the player that was asked for by many people. We think as many as 90% of our customers have some ability to see light, and they said it's nice to just. If I go to bed and the lights are out and I have a little light there, I say, oh, I forgot to turn my stream off. And we also make the light blink while the unit is plugged to the wall and charging the battery. So there is some visual feedback. When you see it blinking, you know it's still charging. And of course, we have that information in audio as well.
Excellent.
Now, is the unit powered off of USB? If you plug the USB cable in, what happens?
No, it's not, Daryl.
No.
All right, we have
Marlena asked that, so.
Okay, yeah, we have a caller here, and let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, welcome to Main Menu Live.
Yes, hello, I'm Jan Sturbins, and I think my question was already answered as I was sitting here listening to the over the phone. So my question was, what was the cost of the reader? And I think he said $329, is that correct?
That's right. Now, Jerry, are you guys still offering the discount to ACB members?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a 10% discount or?
It's a 5% discount 5%. For ACB menus.
ACB members. Okay. Okay. So okay, if you're a member of ACB and you can prove that to Humanware, then you get 5% off of that.
Okay. How do I prove that to Humanware? What do we have to do to...
Yeah, do you know what you need to provide as far as that goes, Jerry?
Nobody's asked me that question. I would call our customer sales folks in the U.S. and ask them that question. I don't know how they're validating that, but many people have taken advantage of it.
Yeah, because I don't think we get an ACB, you know, like member ID number or anything.
No, I'll just ask one more, and then I'll hang up.
Sure.
Is your... customer service number for the U.S., is that on your website, humanware.com?
Yes, it is. I believe it's 1-800-722-3393.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well,
thank you
great.
Very much.
Thank you for calling
Have a great
in.
Evening.
You too. Bye-bye now. 866-400-5333. 866-400-JEFF. And, Daryl, do we have any more questions coming in on the MSN side?
We may have one. Let's see here. Where'd that one go? Oh. No, we don't.
Okay.
Just a vote for the external battery charger.
There we go. Okay. We had a question coming in from Don Barrett. You may know Don Jerry. And he wanted to find out, he had a pretty interesting question. He read the manual that's up on the website, and he was a little confused, first of all, about the storage of files in the different folders. Now, we talked about it a little bit in the review about the different folders that are required for the unit to be able to, you know, see these things. And so the one question he had while I pick up this caller here. Caller, hold on a minute. We'll be with you in just a minute. The question he had was he would like to be able to put all of his music in the $VR music folder, and then he would like to put some audiobooks and some audio, you know, movie-type content that he's ripped from his DVD collection on the stream in the $VR other books folder, and he has about 100 of those. Is that something that is supported, and can you do random play, you know, in that scenario?
He's doing exactly what we intended the product to do. So the non-structured books, as you mentioned in your demonstration, so his movies perhaps would go into the other books folder, and in the other books, when you put it into the other books folder, we intend you to have subfolders inside there. So for each of his movies, if he had, let's talk about a book. If you had a Harry Potter book and there were 25 MP3 files for each of the 25 chapters, then what you would do is create within the other books folder, which is defined as the bookshelf, you would create a Harry Potter folder, and within that folder you'd put the 25 MP3 files. So you would do the same thing with the music, except in the case of the music, you would go to the VR music, $VR music folder. Within that, you would create subfolders, as you did for Elton John or the Beatles or whomever. And then within each of those folders, you would put the tracks. And you can actually nest those folders. So if you've got 10 albums of the Beatles and each one has 10 tracks, then you could have 100 songs just under the Beatles. And they could be, all five folders could be navigated. And then when you reach the folder you want, which would be the album, then you drop down one level, as you did in the demo, to what we call the file level navigation, and then you can move from track to track. Now, the bookshelves behave a little bit differently. That's why you have to decide if it's music, for example, we offer the shuffle play, but we don't on the books, because presumably you don't want to shuffle the chapters of Harry Potter.
Yeah, well, no,
and when we get to the last MP3 file in the Harry Potter folder, we will stop playback. But when we get to the last file in a music folder, we will continue to the first file of the next folder, because presumably you want your music to continuous play. So the playback rules are a little bit different, even though both folders would have MP3 files or Vorbis files, for example. The player will handle the playback a little bit differently.
Okay, but the one thing that he wanted to do was not put them in subfolders underneath, you know, $VR music, and that is supported, right?
Yes, that's supported. It's much more efficient to have subfolders because you can copy faster to as your number of files in a folder increase, the amount of time to copy into that folder increases dramatically. So it's much more efficient, even on your hard drive or your PC, to have folders, but especially on an SD card, it's much more efficient to categorize things by folders than having extremely many files in one folder.
So this is using a FAT32 file system then, the SD card?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that explains a lot. I mean, you really wouldn't want to have 200 files in the root of any drive, really.
Well, 200 is probably okay. When you start getting into 500 and 600, you're going to see some performance hits trying to add more files
navigate to
that folder.
I noticed that sometimes, because I copied a bunch of files, and I noticed that even navigating in that can sometimes be a little bit slower too, having to, you know, traverse down the tree.
So what about these folders though? You know, then right now they need to be created manually.
Yes, he mentioned that earlier, Daryl, and that in 1.1 they're going to have software to help with that.
I'm sorry, this phone.
Well,
this phone is really, really.
That's okay.
Bad.
That's okay.
Yeah, what many people have suggested to us, and I see no reason why we wouldn't do this, is we simply, when the player sees a new card, it would just automatically create those folders. We've already are creating the notes folder, and so there's really no reason why we couldn't go ahead and create the other ones, and then people don't have to worry about having those reconfigured.
Does it matter on the case sensitivity of these folders?
No, that was just done in the on the tutorial that we packaged with the CD. We made sure that they were mixed case so that they'd speak properly with the screen readers.
But there's not any reason. There's no technical reason why.
No. There's no case sensitivity on the player. If you have Dollar VR other books, it just speaks properly with the screen readers if you capitalize the words.
Right, I understand.
That's why it's done.
Well, I pointed it out as mixed case because I wasn't sure. So that's why I did that in the review. We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Yes, good evening. I had a quick question.
Yes, who is this?
Timer? I'm sorry?
Who is this?
This is Jim.
Hello, Jim.
How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing
great. How are you, Jerry?
I'm fine.
My question was, the sleep timer on the unit, does that, let's say you have it set to shut off after 30 minutes of reading, does that shut the unit down after it's done, or is the unit still powered on?
It does a complete shut-off, power and everything.
I see. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
There's also an automatic idle timer on the player, too, that in order to not run the battery down, if you get distracted and you press the play stop button and there's no playback, and then you forget to come back and turn the player on or off, it will shut itself off in 30 minutes if there's no activity.
Ah, interesting. We have another caller, but I have a question about the sleep timer, but we'll come back to that. No, that's okay. Hello, caller. Welcome to Main Menu Live, and how can we help you tonight?
Hi, my name is Steve, Jeff, and Jerry. Hello. I just had a question on the upgrade policy that you would be offering with the Victor Stream.
Okay.
And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Yes.
Alrighty.
What about upgrades, Jerry?
Thanks for the question, Steve. It's always been the policy with Victor Reader, and we intend to keep that with the Stream to provide free upgrades. So we will make, when new features become available or changes to the software in any way, we put the software upgrade on our website, and you're quite free and welcome and encouraged to download that and install it on your player. It's simply... we combine all the modules of the player into a single upgrade image, so it's a single file that you download. You put that file in the root of your SD card, and when the player sees that special file, it will automatically give a message that it's going to start an update process and give you the new version number and tell you to stand by, and it'll be all done in about 1 minute.
Yes, and you got to make sure the unit's plugged in. In fact, it reminds you.
We do have it checked for power. We don't want you to run out of battery the middle of the update and end up with a half updated player that no longer functions.
Yeah, then you would have a brick. We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. They're coming in quick tonight. Hello, caller. How can we help you tonight?
A skinny brick, though.
A skinny brick. That's right. Hello, caller.
Hi, Jeff. John from Wisconsin. You guys had a great show. Jerry, I've got a question for you. Getting back to the file creation, in the manual, is there the syntax? I know your VR, for your other books,
right.
And I understand that's not case sensitive. But what I'm wondering is, getting back to your music folder, when you create the folder, let's say you have inside a music folder, an album called The Beatles, Abbey Road, whatever it is. Then I understand you put the MP3 files in there. Does everything have to be case sensitive? And one suggestion I'm going to make real quick, then I'll hang up for you guys. When you're reading text, when you could read letter by letter, I would suggest also have and maybe this has probably been brought up before, when you're reading character by character, also maybe having an option for phonetics, Frank, Foxtrot, F, S, Sam, whatever the case is. And I'll hang up. Thanks.
So the answer to the first question, there's no case sensitivity on the file names. The text-to-speech, the vocalizer text-to-speech will pronounce them either way. And as far as the phonetics, this is something that's certainly possible. That's an interesting idea, and I'm going to make a note of that one. Thank you very much. It's something that I'll consider as we work through future upgrades.
Okay. Jerry, I had a question about the sleep timer, and actually this came up from someone who had an opportunity to play with one, and they brought up the issue that the sleep timer comes on with the Victor voice and says, you know, 1 minute left, you know, as it's counting down near the end of the book. And he brought up a really good point in that, would it be possible to, and I know that, I know it would be possible because it's firmware, so would it be possible to make it so that you would not actually hear it tell you a minute left, but simply just to fade the audio of the book or whatever you're listening to down so as to not wake you up, for example? In other words, that voice might be, you know, it's such a difference in what you're actually potentially listening to that it could wake you up.
It's one of those things that can be done. You're absolutely right. The sleep is one of the most interesting features of a Daisy and an MP3 player. People have actually told us to put that warning message in the early days when we shut the player off. They said, "Well, gee, can I have a 1 minute warning? Because if I'm still awake, I'd like to press the button again and do another 15 minutes." And if I'm not awake, well, it doesn't matter. And then we have, as you mentioned, other people have told me, well, the fact that the voice changes from the narration of the book to the announcement voice is enough to wake me up. So we're now in a situation where where people want it and people don't want it. So
maybe a tone.
I suppose it's always possible to have some kind of configuration. So it's something that's on my list, but I at this point I don't see how to solve it other than giving a configurable choice, which would tend to make the player a little more complicated.
Maybe a tone could be played, you know, like.
Well, we had that too, actually, Jeff. We went through that. We used to have I guess it wasn't really a tone, but a beep, and that definitely woke people up. So
yeah,
we changed that to the message, but the very fact that the message is a different voice, I guess, is enough to bring people from almost sleep back to awakened state. So
yeah, well, you know,
it's something we're aware of. It's just that we. The easiest solution is to remove the prompts, but there are people that appreciate those, so
make it a configuration setting.
Well, you could make it a skippable element.
Yeah, there you go, something like this.
you could make it part of the Daisy skippable element. You could add yet another type.
Oh, there you go.
That'd be kind of interesting. Well, we have time for maybe one or two more callers if we get them in quick. 866-400-5333-866-400 Jeff. Daryl, do we have any MSN questions coming in?
I am double checking, but I don't think so. Just give me one moment here.
Okay. One of the other things that has come up is the volume of the speaker, Jerry, and I know you and I have had an opportunity to discuss this a little bit, but I thought it would be good for maybe you to briefly discuss it in reference to you know, why the decision was made for both the size and the volume of the speaker.
Well, yeah, the speaker was something we debated internally quite a bit. I mean, at one point we weren't going to have a speaker because we said, after all, the commercial MP3 players are headphones, headphone-only devices. They don't have a speaker. And so why would we put a speaker on it? Because we knew that the best we could do would be let's call it a PDA class speaker, which is not enough to really listen to talking books. It's not enough to fill a room, that's for sure. But at the end of the day, this was a device that's used by blind and low vision people, and accessibility is what HumanWear is all about. So there's nothing more frustrating to me to be going out the door in the morning to catch my bus or something, and I've got 3 SD cards on my desk, and I say, "Oh, which one is the music, and which one is Harry Potter? I can't remember."
Yeah, exactly.
And I have to get my backpack out and find my headphones and plug them in, just because I want to turn the player on for 5 seconds to make sure I've got the right SD card, you know. Or for you know, you want to record somebody's phone number because you're going to meet them after work, and and you're standing on the street corner and you got to get out headphones because you want to just do a quick 5-second voice recording. So at the end of the day, we said we're not going to be able to have a very high volume speaker, but as a secondary access, quick access to the player without headphones, we really think it's essential. And having no speaker at all would be, in our view, make the product less accessible. Having said that, once people experience it, they say, well, gee, you know, it's there. I wish I could walk around the room and listen to it. And you are quite right, Jeff. I have listened to it, let's say, in a hotel room or someplace quiet. I would say it's listenable at 24 inches in a quiet room, but this is not necessarily what I would recommend as a way to listen to a talking book. So
sure.
It's really meant for quick access if you're going to make dinner and put it on the counter, then you better have an external speaker
right.
So you can move about the
we
room.
We have two MSN questions.
Okay, Daryl, hold on 1 second. We have a caller, and we're going to be running out of time here quick. The one thing I wanted to say here, too, and it's really kind of an important thing to mention, is that the volume can be set independent of both the internal speaker as well as the headphones.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so that's a really great, yet another innovative feature for the stream. Let's bring in our caller really quick. We're running out of time, so you'll need to ask your question quick. Hello, caller?
Hello. I was going to offer a suggestion on that sleep timer issue. Why not just have the voice stop and then have a minute of silence, and if you don't hit a button, then it shuts off.
Oh, good idea.
Great.
Okay, do you have any other questions for us?
Nope, that's it.
All right, great. Thanks for calling in, and we're not going to be taking any more calls, so we can get to these two MSN questions. Go ahead, Daryl.
Okay, the first one is from Steve, and he asks, will there be any competitive upgrades from devices like the BookPort?
Are you asking me about the BookPort?
Yes. Will there be competitive upgrades, you know, like trade-in program or something?
Oh, no, we haven't planned anything like that at the moment.
Okay, and the second one is from Gabe, and he says, how about compatibility with the Mac? Will it work? Are there any special issues? And so on and so forth.
No, the only issue is to transfer the files from the Mac, and we've had people tell us that it does connect to the Mac okay. In fact, Greg Kearney, who makes the DTB Maker online program for making Daisy books, has already developed something that he lets people try out if they want to interface their Mac to the stream. So HumanWare hasn't built anything special for the Mac. We are going to provide a Windows-based client to provide some support for it on the Windows side, but there's nothing planned special for the Mac, but we do understand it connects to a Mac.
All right, that's what I have. Thank
All
you.
Right, great. Okay, well, we have time, Jerry, for you to give us some contact information and pricing details and any last-minute closing comments that you may have.
Well, we are retailing the product for $329 in the U.S. We're very proud of that. It was a pretty affordable price, we think, and makes it an appealing, advanced, and affordable player for people. The information about the player can be found at humanware.com. When you go to the main page, we have a little banner there to take you directly to the Victor Reader Stream product page. And that page will be continued. We'll have continuous updates as we make new releases available. Everything you need about the product, we're trying to give you a complete information package on that page so you can read the user guide. We now have a frequently asked questions document started, which I've put up there on the site so you can read the FAQ. We're going to put the tutorial up there, which has just been finished and will be packaged with version 1. And of course, the connection to the online purchase is there if you want to go ahead and make a purchase, and so that's where you get all your product information. If you want to talk to our people directly in the U.S., you can call HumanWare at 1-800-722-3393, and in Canada, the main customer service and the information number is 1-888-723-7273. So that's 1-888-723-7273 in Canada, and in the U.S. 1-800-722-3393.
Excellent, excellent. All right, Jerry.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Jerry.
We want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. It's been a pleasure, and we'll keep in touch with you, and definitely have you back when version 1.1 comes around, or at least to get maybe get a 10 or 15 minute interview with you to talk all about the new features that are coming, you know, later this year. So how's that sound?
Well, that'll be my pleasure, and hopefully it'll be sooner than later.
All right, great. And if you can hold on a minute, guys, I'll be back with you in just a minute.
Coming up next week on Main Menu and Main Menu Live, we're going to be talking all things Skype. That's right, we're going to be talking about recording Skype conversations, whether you're going to be using a product like CallBurner or you're going to be using a product like Skylook, which interfaces directly with Outlook. That's what's coming up next week on ACB Radio's Main Menu and Main Menu Live. We'll see all of you next week. If you'd like to get a hold of us, send us an email, mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. Good night, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll see you all next week.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.